Yeah. Yeah.
Is that going right now?
Yeah.
Not two, not three, not four.
Hello? You play to win the game.
Not two, not three, not four.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Not two, not three, not four.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati. But we're on to Cincinnati.
How difficult is it to...
We're getting ready for Cincinnati.
Not two, not three, not four.
It's my team. It's my quarterback.
There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children.
And we're off. Welcome to another edition of the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. We do this live, but this show will be heard only every Tuesday on OregonSportsNews.com. And, of course, full gamut radio at FGRN.net. Action pack week. I got to speak with the great Lou Ferrigno on the phone. He goes, I'd like to do my interview right now. I'm at the gym. I'd like to do my interview. The Lou Ferrigno. I said, Lou Ferrigno? I thought it was a joke. It was this mind-boggling experience to talk to the Hulk. And I said, Lou, I got to tell you, I'm a great fan. Why was I answering the phone? Because at work, that's what I do every now and then. I normally don't, but I saw the line was open. I had 5 minutes of availability. I said, you know what? I'm going to just answer the phone just for fun to see what happens. And when Lou Ferrigno said, this is Lou Ferrigno. I want to do my interview right now. I'm at the gym. I said, it felt so surreal. I was like, someone's messing with me. This has to be a joke. But it wasn't a joke. It was really Lou. Spoke to him for a few seconds, and it was very exciting. It was galvanizing to me. Thank you. Pretty interesting sports weekend. Deflategate perpetuates. You hurt Tom Brady's feelings. Don't talk about the Deflategate. If you accuse him of cheating, you are going to hurt his feelings, and it was very, very sad. Yeah, Tom Brady went on one of the radio stations and said, my feelings are hurt. I know. That's why I'm going to stop talking too much about Deflategate, because I don't want to hurt Tom Brady's feelings. I thought he was going to cry. Don't want to see that. And Bill Belichick won't shut up. Very unusual. One guy has his feelings hurt, Tom Brady, who's never rattled, Mr. Unflappable, and then Bill Belichick won't shut up. He just keeps talking and talking and talking, where Bill Nye, the science guy, has to say, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about, science. And Bill Belichick even used a reference to My Cousin Vinny. That was pretty funny. Wow, Bill Belichick, he grew a voice, and he wasn't really run on to Cincinnati. He's not talking like that. Bill Belichick went in inflation, and he was inflecting his words, and it seemed like a man trying to say, I have no part of this at all, and I'm going to talk about it for the last time. I don't know if he was screwing around with our heads, because that's what Bill Belichick does. He always feels like he's one step ahead of us? Why all of a sudden is Bill Belichick talking a week before the Super Bowl about this? If it's not a big deal, you've already discussed it, just bury it, just let it go. But Bill keeps flapping his gums. Tom Brady's feelings are hurt. And I'm talking to Lou Ferrigno on the phone. It is a crazy, crazy week. Two All-Star games. Or something like that. At least they're supposed to be All-Star games. Big baby sitting on a woman's face. And I'm not talking about the baby that goes, wah, wah. No, I'm talking about big baby. As in the LA Clippers 300-pound behemoth. Who accidentally went out for a ball, and he just sat on a lady's face. And that just sums it up right there. That's the narrative. Don't buy expensive tickets if you're a nice, sweet, precious lady, or cute, or whatever it is, or kids. Kids and women should not really be in the front row unless you expect to get a big baby butt planted right in your kisser. If you're okay with that, keep purchasing these these inflammatory prices for those tickets. Otherwise, don't sit there and cry and look all hurt, because that's what happens. You get a big baby butt right in your face. It's pretty entertaining. Check it out on YouTube. A 6-game winning streak now in Cleveland has changed an entire perception, isn't it? It feels like it was just a couple weeks ago. Yeah, right before LeBron took his 2-week hiatus after the injury and got the emotional peace and quiet he needed. Everyone was saying, that's it. Cleveland, they're done. This is going to blow up, and David Blatt's going to be fired, and it's going to escalate and get so ugly in Cleveland. Hang in there. hang tight, relax. It always happens. It's LeBron James. The best thing that happened was taking that rest, taking the 2 weeks off. LeBron's been in four finals straight. He hasn't had time to recuperate. Now he has an injury. He has an excuse. And he's refreshed, revitalized. It's a totally, completely different LeBron James. In fact, this is the LeBron James from the second year in Miami. When he was still younger, he was still fresh, and he was hungrier, and he was ready to finally beat San Antonio and capture, or beat Oklahoma City and capture that championship. That's what it felt like. The guy's just been, he's been top notch right now. MVP back in the race. Oh, yes, sorry, LeBron James. And Cleveland, as good as the Atlanta Hawks with that 16-game winning streak, Cleveland Cavaliers. We are going to get to the center of that Tootsie Pop. I don't care if it takes us 1,000 licks. We're going to keep licking away right here on the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com until we get to the center and get that good old stale, God, who knows what kind of food additives are in that piece of bubble gum that everyone always wanted to get to that center of the Tootsie Pop. Well, we're going to get to it. Hopefully it'll be good. Maybe it won't be good. We're going to discuss who wins the Super Bowl and why. Not just about Deflategate, but who wins the Super Bowl. It's crazy. I know. We're actually going to talk about the game. I have some tangible evidence on which is the worst of the big four all-star games, and I'm going to share that with you in approximately 35 minutes. Plus, the most bizarre proposition bets in the Super Bowl. I will help you make some relatively simple money on the Super Bowl Sunday, because we know no money is supposed to be categorized as easy, but we're going to simplify for this for you, and I'm telling you, I'm going to help you win some money, because there are some of these proposition bets that just seem like a sucker bet. How can they even put this out there? We're going to win some money. We're going to do it together right here on the Slant Sports Talk. Deflated balls, huh? Oh, boy. Have you had enough about the deflated balls? I have. My granddaddy had deflated balls, and my granny never accused him of cheating. Why is Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots accused of cheating for the deflated balls? It just won't stop. At least we all can come to a conclusion that New England was going to win the AFC Championship game against the Indianapolis Colts, no matter what kind of balls they use, if they use balls at all. And we don't even know what Indianapolis used. Was it the same PSI? Was it less? Was it more? We really don't know, but it doesn't matter what New England did. It is the most overblown conspiracy theory or scandal ever in sports. Right before the Super Bowl, and this is what we're still talking about. So crazy. The NFL created this mess, though. Don't let them fool you. The NFL is 100%, not 100%, but they are mostly responsible for this whole thing. Paul Tagliabue gave some advice to Roger Goodell indirectly. Roger Goodell should have eaten it up. He should have listened. He should have learned by watching Paul Tagliabue in the past. He was his right-hand man. He was right there, front center. But some people think they know everything. And some people want to do it their way. And it seems like that's how Roger Goodell is. And I wonder if he's ever going to get fired, or if he's not, we pretty much know what his legacy is. I don't think there's any respectable fan that likes Roger Goodell. The owners love him. The owners love him because it's all about money. You bring him the green. You make the Benjamins. You produce it for the owners. They're going to keep supporting you. Players don't like him. Fans don't like him. Guy's still there. Still making mistakes. Wanted to set a trap for New England instead of just attacking the issue before it's a problem. God, that really stinks. Should have been resolved already, but we're still discussing it at the water cooler, aren't we? So we'll just discuss it. We'll talk about it, I promise you, a few minutes right here on the Slant. Then we'll get to bigger and greater pastures because there's so many of them. So many different angles to take on the Super Bowl. I just don't know why Goodell wouldn't consult Paul Tagliabue for advice or some help. Hey, got this problem. I heard that the Baltimore Ravens, yeah, they said that it's really strange, Paul, but New England's deflating footballs because Tom Brady's hands aren't that big? Oh, I know. Giselle, that's Giselle's problem. But yeah, that's a good one. I know where you're going with that one. But what do we do? Can you help me here? Should I set a trap for New England? Or how about maybe I tell New England this monkey business better stop because we're going to look into it right now. Cut it out. Quit. But nah, we'll just set a trap. We'll set a trap and make this whole Super Bowl week ugly. Yeah, that's what we do. Because it's not bad enough what happened with Ray Lewis, Hardy, and Adrian Peterson. We need more scandals in 2014 and 15. More, please. Bring them in. Bring them in because I can handle it. I think Richard Sherman encapsulated Deflategate for us. He simplified it. He said Goodell is not going to do anything. And he's got a major point right there. Kraft, Goodell, they're at each other's homes. They're palling around together, taking pictures, photos, photobombing. Arms around each other. Look like good friends. How do you punish a friend in the hand that feeds you? It's difficult, isn't it? Have you ever tried that? Can you imagine being a teacher and your best friend in the world, maybe the guy who got you the job at that school, your mentor, you teach his son. He did something. What do you do? Do you turn a blind eye? Do you punish him? How is that going to reflect your relationship with that friend of yours? It's tough. Because if he does punish New England, if Goodell wakes up and does something, hey, this is a form of cheating, even though it's not a big deal, and we're all overblowing this, not a big deal at all. But New England cheated. They need to pay for this. He might lose one of his big supporters in Robert Kraft. I don't know if Roger Goodell wants to go there. Because we know Roger Goodell does what Roger Goodell wants to do. Oh, you kidding me? Marshawn Lynch, you're going to be suspended if you wear gold cleats. But we'll take care of this weeks down the road. Forget about it. All the money on the line, Super Bowl, forget about it. But Marshawn Lynch, you wear gold cleats, not you going to be suspended for the NFC Championship game. But Super Bowl? Oh, you kiss that away, buddy. And you better start talking to the media. Thank you very much. Thanks for asking. Yeah. Jerry Rice and Ray Lewis think that there should be an asterisk if the Patriots win the game. What do you think? Hit me up on Twitter at Brads56. Only haters of New England really believe so. Just try this for a second. Throw away your dislike for the Patriots. Try to become completely objective and neutral here. If the New England Patriots win, it's so absurd. They win. Their legacy is not tarnished. It's the New England Patriots. They still won. It's a deflated ball. You don't think other teams have done this? You don't think other teams have cheated? Teams are taking every single possible, imaginable way to have an advantage over each other. New England got caught. It looks like it. Now more evidence is going to come out. They're going to try to pin it on a ball boy or a trainer, one of the staff members, whatever they do. And I'm not trying to underblow because cheating is cheating, but there's different types of cheating. There's cheating like cheating on the scoreboard, changing the scores. There's PED cheating, drugs against the rules, and there's cheating about deflating the ball. Like maybe makes it a little bit easier to grip a football, throw a football. Let's not be stupid right here. This is so crazy and overblown. Blame the NFL. They had the complaints from the Ravens. They try to set a trap for the New England Patriots. I'm just not buying this. You say what you want, but if the New England Patriots win, this will be the finest moment in the Brady-Belichick era. And I hate to say it. I hate to admit it. I don't like the New England Patriots, but I'm not going to take away a Super Bowl or anything away from this franchise because, yeah, we heard it before. If you listen to any sports talk, you listen to any person, any insider, all teams cheat. It doesn't make it right, but there's different forms of cheating. What about gloves? Why can't that be cheating? Why can't that be in the rule book? Back in the 60s, the 70s, even the 80s, receivers didn't have gloves. And when they did have gloves, when it was wet outside or cold, really didn't help sometimes. Now they have weatherproof gloves. Real sticky ones. Did you see Odell Beckham's catch? I'm a fan of the New York Football Giants, but if he didn't have those sticky gloves, would he be able to catch that with his bare hands? Probably not. Why isn't gloves cheating? Chris Collinsworth came on the show, said it best himself. He said, hey, you gave me the opportunity to have PEDs, growth hormone, or sticky gloves back when I was 25. I'm taking those sticky gloves. That would help me catch. I'd be in the league longer, probably more records, maybe Super Bowls. Everyone has the advantage. Deflate balls. Oh, man. That is just, I hate the Patriots. They're cheaters. Yeah, they spied on people. Let's just come down on them. We got to call them cheaters. We got to label this. Take away your hatred for the New England Patriots, what they've done in the last 15 years, and just think about this as a whole. If the Patriots win, it's going to be one of the greatest moments in the Brady Belichick era. It's four. That's more than any coach combo in the history. Brady will have four. He will be tied with Montana for most quarterback Super Bowls. Belichick ties Chuck Knoll for four, most ever by a head coach, silencing all the critics. And the only argument is, they cheated. He cheated. Didn't you hate that? You remember playing tic-tac-toe or what's that game you play in kindergarten? Oh, heads up, seven up. You play heads up, seven up, and you sit there and you try to look at people's shoes. You peek, right? And you look to see whose shoes are they? Oh, I'm in kindergarten. They cheat. Come on. Is it the same thing? He's a cheater. She's a cheater. Bill Belichick, that's all you could say. They're a cheater. You put an asterisk by it. Oh, it's crazy. It's funny. It's Jerry Rice and Ray Lewis coming out and saying that. No, Ray Lewis doesn't have any agendas there. He's the Baltimore Ravens. They hate the New England Patriots. You see where I'm coming from? But if you ask most head coaches, and I think all of the head coaches in the NFL, they're going to say, come on. Because they know they've done a lot worse. They've probably gotten away with a lot worse. This is really minute. It's a minute situation that we're embellishing and we're magnifying a little bit too much. I don't know. Did the media just get bored? Did we just get bored? We want to talk about this more than a game? Because this could be one of the best Super Bowls in the history. Could be. Might not be. But you have one of the best defenses and a team that's really dominated the last couple years against a team who has dominated the last decade and a half. And they're back in the Super Bowl. And they have a great offense. Not the best, not the most prolific, but they have a great offense. Great defense. Great head coaches. Let's look at the angles there. Belichick, Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll was fired from New England for Bill Belichick. Pete Carroll goes to USC, wins a couple national championships, goes back to Seattle. Now he has a chance for a couple championships. Brandon Browner, former New England or former Seattle Seahawk. Russell Wilson, we still call him a game manager. Still label him. A lot riding on the Super Bowl. It's going to be a great game. And as a fan, as a neutral fan here, I guess I'm siding with the Seahawks, but my team's not in it. I'm an objective fan that just wants to see a fantastic game. And we really have a chance, but we're going to still talk about the Deflategate and the cheaters and the asterisks that are just such horse manure and poopy. It's diddly poo. It didn't mean diddly poo, a deflated football. Didn't really hear anyone on the Colts complaining. The Ravens, maybe that's what they do. They cry because New England's gotten a little lucky. Gotten some breaks from them in the past, especially in championship games in the playoffs. Sucks for them. I think we know who the NFL is cheering for. Probably a little bit easier for them to swallow if Seattle wins, don't you think? If New England wins, you're going to have those haters. They're going to come out there. Oh, yeah, you might be one of them. You might be one of those haters. They cheated, put the asterisks there. People are going to be mad. They should have been punished. What do? You suspend Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Suspend them both. Eradicate them from the Super Bowl 49. Let's screw up the big Super Bowl. Oh, boy. How about the stinking game now? Can we get down to that? The Super Bowl, that is. Plus, which is the worst of the big four All-Star games? I'm going to tell you what that is next. You are listening to the Slant Sports Talk on Full Gamut Radio and OregonSportsNews.com. I'm a little shocked that Bill Belichick actually watches movies. Quoting the great My Cousin Vinny, Mona Lisa, we're on to My Cousin Vinny. Do you see that? Bill Belichick actually has fun. He does things beside sit and think and contemplate ways to cheat and to prepare and to be better than you and me and everyone else around the National Football League. Bill Belichick, Super Bowl 49. I still have a slight edge to the New England Patriots. I teased it out last week, so I'm going to give you a winner of the Super Bowl. Very, very close. I'd be surprised if it's more than 4 points. But I have a slight edge to the New England Patriots. I think Deflategate's only going to help New England. Belichick, he's so great at shielding his team from distractions, isn't he? And that's what he's going to do. He's going to shield this team. And most of this has been hinged on Brady and Belichick anyways. And who's better to deflect all the problems and to take all the heat? Brady, Mr. Unflappable, cool as a cucumber in the fourth quarter. Nothing rattles the guy. He's fine. He's Mr. Tom Terrific. And Belichick, one of the greatest coaches that we've ever seen. Arguably the best if he wins this. Arguably the best, despite the Deflategate. Arguably the best head coach in the National Football League. And I think all this arouses Bill. He likes it. That's why he came up on that second talk. That was that yesterday or the day before? He came up there, I think it was Sunday or Saturday or Sunday, when he speaks again. He starts talking about science. The guy, he just wants to get to us. He does. He wants to keep talking. There's a reason behind every single thing that he says. And if he's going to hold a press conference and just speak voluntarily, I guarantee there is a purpose. There's an objective for Bill Belichick. Very smart. And he's very confident. And when you're confident and smart, Super Bowls happen, cheating happens, all that occurs, right? He's going to try to one-up us. Guy's like a chess genius. He's a geek, and he's competitive. This arouses him. He loves it. I could just see him with is he married? Isn't he divorced? Or, we're on to the bedroom, sugar britches. Oh, look this, this whole Deflategate, yeah, and really, it's really turned me on. I know how everyone has their little S&Ms, and was it Rex Ryan? He's really into feet, and yeah, I'm into big, fat, gigantic tushies. We all have our weirdness and everything that arouses us, that turns us on. Belichick, I think it's scandals. I think it's controversy. He loves negativity. He takes the negativity and he translates it into positivity. He knows how to make it right for his team to motivate them. And he's going to prepare. And this is a distraction. Probably he likes it better than you ask him stupid questions about how is he going to stop Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson led the NFL in passing yards. How are you going to stop Russell Wilson from making plays in the fourth quarter like he did against Green Bay? He likes this. We're on to the bedroom, sugar britches. Turned on, baby. Thanks for listening to the Slant Sports Talk on Full Gamut Radio and OSN. I am Brad Stein still. Talk to Lou Ferrigno. Very, very exciting. I thought it was a joke, man. I just had to slip one out there at work. I had to say, hey Lou, big fan. Love the Incredible Hulk, man. When you turn green, I was a childhood fan, and I had my little Hulk doll, and I would take it everywhere because I wanted to be the Hulk like you. I didn't like Bill Bixby, okay? I didn't like Bruce Banner, David Banner, whatever his name was. I liked you. So thank you very much. Moved on. Two things Pats will do better than Denver in this Super Bowl. Denver, they just weren't a match for the New England Patriots. They were outcoached, they were outplayed, and this year it's a lot different. New England does something better than anyone else, and that's take away the best weapon, and that's Bill Belichick's whole philosophy and narrative as a defensive mind. I'm going to take away what you do the best. Seattle's a running team. Marshawn Lynch, 157 yards against the Green Bay Packers. Let's stop Marshawn Lynch, because if we stop him, we're going to force Russell Wilson to make the plays, and we have a better chance of winning, but we're not going to let Beast Mode go crazy because we saw what Beast Mode did last week, right? Do you remember? When they were down, they were just down in the dumps. Beast Mode fought and pounded for every stinking yard, and he enlightened every one of those players and inspired every one of those players on offense and defense to keep fighting with them. And eventually in the fourth quarter, McCarthy, the coaching staff, the whole Green Bay Packers imploded, and there it was. Opportunity, and Russell Wilson took advantage. Another guy who is pretty resilient tweeted it out, said we're going to see how resilient Russell Wilson is. Never did I think that he was going to come back in that game. One of the biggest disasters ever, and that goes down as Green Bay's biggest loss. But this isn't Green Bay. This isn't the Denver Broncos. You're facing the New England Patriots, and for Seattle to win, man, Bill Belichick's going to take away the best weapon. They're going to try to take away Marshawn Lynch, and they're going to move the ball. That's two things they're going to do better than Denver. They're going to move the ball. Green Bay took away Lynch in the first half, and then they just couldn't do it anymore because Seattle was smart. They kept banging away with them, and eventually that defense is going to fatigue because Green Bay's defense has fatigued in the fourth quarter pretty much a lot in all their losses, and you're just going to keep plugging away with that guy. You're going to keep chugging and pounding that rock, and it worked. And Green Bay played bump and run. They use their corners on the outside, press man on man. I see New England doing the same exact thing. Take away Lynch, play bump and run with your corners, a much improved secondary, force Wilson to beat you in the pocket. Don't let him run. Keep him in the pocket and make throws with those wide receivers. Force the wide receivers. Curse and the boys to beat you in one-on-one matchups. It's going to be one of the biggest deciding factors. We'll see. Key for New England is red zone, though. They're going to move the ball, right? They're going to move the ball. They're going to mostly take away Lynch for most of the game. They're going to try. There's ways that Seattle can combat that, and we're going to see if Pete Carroll and the players can take advantage. But red zone, it's going to be a big key. If New England wins this game, red zone, it can't look anything closely related to what the Green Bay putrid Packers put up. And there's one thing that you're going to see. You're going to see completely contrasting coaching styles in Bill Belichick and Mike McCarthy. There's no way that Bill Belichick wouldn't have gone for at least one of those, especially that first one. On the road, he's going to set an example right there. He's going to knock you in your mouth and try to knock all your teeth out. He's not going to just punch you once and knock one tooth. He's going to knock all of them out there so you can't eat again. He doesn't want you to eat. And that first one, you're right there on the 2-inch line and you don't go for it. Believe me, it's going to be completely different. Will they get it? It's going to be the difference of winning and losing, but Belichick's going to go for it, and Seattle's going to have to consistently stop this New England Patriot team. And they're a dual threat. They're well-balanced, not like Denver. Denver came in there. All you had to do is pressure Manning, knock those receivers off the line. Don't let him go in the routes. You know Manning's a statue. You get in his face early, you're going to rattle him. Completely different. This team is more balanced. They can run the ball. They will try to run the ball. But I think the formula for Seattle is still the same. You still want to pressure Brady. You're going to try to make him feel uncomfortable. You want to make him roll out. You don't want him stepping up in the pocket. You want to push that pocket back on him and make him roll out. You hit him early. In the Super Bowl, we've seen what the New York Giants did. They set the formula. Hit him early. Hit him 10 times or more. Get him out of the pocket. You make him uncomfortable. That's pretty much how you beat most quarterbacks, except for Russell Wilson, if he pulls this Houdini crap in the fourth quarter, this dynamic play that you just didn't expect, but a lot of that was self-induced, self-inflicted by the Green Bay Packers. Different teams. These are the two best teams. I really do. I think these are the two best teams going into the year. Maybe I thought Denver was a little bit better at one time, but towards after half of the season was done, after week 8-9, I knew that Denver just wasn't the same. And Peyton Manning just kept fatiguing. And that's all she said. how monumental is Gronk going to be in this game? It always comes down to some players and strategies and matchups make fights, right? In this one, you have the great defense, and everyone keeps saying the best offense. New England's not, but they are a well-balanced attack with probably, I still think he's the best quarterback right now in the game, the best big-game quarterback. In the crunch time, in the big game, you want Tom Brady leading your bunch, especially you're going through this scandal right now. Gronkowski and Marshawn Lynch, those are the two figures, one on each team. Those are the guys that you want to corral, that you want to stop. Because if you don't, this game could get ugly. And we talked about the most important thing for New England is red zone. Well, who is Mr. Red Zone efficiency for New England? Who's going to catch most of the touchdowns? Who's going to do all the damage? It's going to be Rob Gronkowski. And despite what Donkey Boy Jeremy Lane said for Seattle, which was stupid, and I don't even believe in that poster board material this late in the season for the Super Bowl. They're already motivated. They're already dealing with they're probably motivated, like I said. They're going to be motivated from the Deflategate. Jeremy Lane's not going to add. That was just stupidity. That just says, look, my name is Jeremy Lane, and if we lose, then I'm going to eat my words. And only the Bears and Jets gave up more touchdowns to tight ends than the Seattle Seahawks. I think it was 11. But it's so misleading. And that's what I want to tell you. Don't go off what stats tell you. If you see this ESPN stat or whatever, if you check Twitter, you go online, or you just watch ESPN and you see this little nugget being thrown out there and it says, uh-oh, Seattle's really bad against the tight end. Gronkowski's, yeah, he's probably the best tight end. This is going to be the reason why New England wins. Just think about it. Break down every single game because it's one of those misleading stats. Seattle gave up most of those touchdowns when Cam Chancellor and Bobby Wagner, their middle linebacker, and their strong, long safety that can cover, that can match up with most tight ends in the league when they were injured. That's when they gave up most of those. When those guys are back, it's a lot more difficult for the tight end. That's why it's misleading. But there could still be a weakness because Rob Gronkowski, when he's healthy, he's a human mismatch. And I think he's better than Graham in New Orleans. I think he's the best tight end in football. And he gives another dimension to that New England Patriots offense. Without him, the team would not be in the Super Bowl. Because they're just slightly above average receivers and running backs with a very good offensive line of Tom Brady. But where's that tight end? That's the difference maker right there. And now Seattle has to deal with a hobbled Sherman and Thomas in that secondary. You know that New England's going to attack it. They're going to attack Sherman and Thomas. They're going to try to make them tackle. They're going to see how they look early. Maybe they're not intimidated. We're going to see. That's going to be a big factor. But when I look at the injuries, I see two teams that are pretty closely matched up. But I see Sherman and Thomas in the secondary that's injured. It makes me a little scared to pick Seattle there. What do you think? Who do you have? Seattle, New England, Super Bowl 49, enough of the Deflategate. Now we're getting down to the big game. Who's going to win? Who is the better team? I still give a slight edge to the New England Patriots. And I know Seattle started with like +3, and quickly it went to pick 'em. And now it looks like New England is favored. Even with the Deflategate, you know that Belichick's going to put it behind everyone. He's going to use it. He's going to be aroused as a coach. He's going to get excited. He's going to get busy in the bedroom with whatever he does. But guarantee those players are going to come out focused, especially Tom Brady. Yeah, he could say his feelings are hurt. He's unflappable. When that game starts, he knows. He's cool. You've seen him. This is his 6th Super Bowl appearance. Do you think he really cares? Do you think he's going to let this bother him? They want to win because they want to shut up the critics to say, hey, look, we didn't know anything about it. Or even if we did know something about it, big freaking deal. A deflated ball. Grandpa's had him his whole life. Grammys never, ever accuse him of cheating. It's just overblown, overhyped, over-talked about. So many things in the media. They were going to win that game no matter what. I don't know why we didn't find out what PSIs the Indianapolis Colts were using, because that would have been interesting on their balls. We know this team's balls, but we don't know the Colts' balls. We know the Patriots' balls. We know the Ravens accused the Patriots of deflating balls. A lot of balls joke, wasn't there? Yeah, we all got to act like we were 8 years old again. A little potty talk. And the balls. You knew that was going to be trending all over. As soon as that happened, deflated balls. Oh, boy. Thanks again for listening to the Slant Sports Sock, Brad Stein. Full Gamut Radio, OSN, the only way to do it. Having a great time, ready for that big Super Bowl 49, Patriots-Seattle. And I think it will be a great one, despite all that. It should add to the prestige. Don't you think that it's going to add something? I sure hope so. But it will, because neither teams are going to be distracted by it. The only people that are going to be distracted by it are the fans talking about it, the water cooler, all those ridiculous reporters still asking questions. Let's get past it and really break down the matchups. New England wants to stop Marshawn Lynch. They're going to take that line of scrimmage, and they're going to try to eradicate him from existence. They'll play bump and run on the corners, much like Green Bay did. Let the cornerbacks believe in the DBs, Revis, Browner. Let them go to work and say, Seattle's running back, wide receivers, go ahead, beat us. Go ahead and beat us, because you're not going to do it. You're just okay. You're above average. We don't have respect for you. And Russell Wilson, we don't think your 5'10 and 3/4 stature can handle the pocket. And we're going to push that back. We're going to get a pass rush on you. We're not going to let Lynch run. And Pete Carroll's going to be smart, bullheaded, hopefully, for Seattle's sake. They're going to keep running that ball. But this time, Seattle's going to have to have a little bit more dynamic play from Russell Wilson. And I do mean a little bit in the passing game, of course, and no interceptions. If they turn the ball over two times, you can all but kiss this game away for Seattle, unless this is really sloppy on both teams. But I don't see New England giving it away two or more times, maybe one on each. If there's anything like what happened in Green Bay, this game is over. We're going to have to see a more dynamic Russell Wilson in the first half running the ball. And that's one of the ways to beat New England. At least if you look at the blueprint, if you want to look at misleading stats, you can believe it or you don't believe it. But three of the four teams who beat New England had top quarterbacks, rushing quarterbacks. Green Bay with Rodgers, KC, Alex Smith, and Miami with Ryan Tannehill. You know who's leading the NFL in rushing yards at the quarterback position? That's right, Russell Wilson, and yards per attempt, per rush. That's why Seattle's going to need to corral him. And Green Bay had the perfect game plan. Their schematics were pinpoint excellent, flawless in the first half. They corralled Russell Wilson. They got some lucky turnovers. They didn't let Marshawn Lynch go anywhere. And they were just pounding the ball on Seattle, keeping the ball away from the Seahawks. And something just changed. That's feeding the ball to Marshawn Lynch. That's a guy I trust. I know he's going to keep fighting. Even though that offensive line of Seattle is not that great, this guy's going to keep fighting for extra yardage. He held that whole team up and he said, I'm going to help win this game. Even though he didn't get the winning touchdown, he was responsible, and that's why I came on the Slant Sports Talk last week, and I said Seattle would be absolutely stupid and crazy if they don't sign this guy up, snatch him. We made a call. Remember we did that on the Slant Sports Talk last week? We made a call to John Schneider of Seattle, the GM of the Seahawks, and we said, come on, you got to do something to get this guy for at least three more years. I don't really care how much it cost you. All right, I know Russell Wilson's going to cost you $100 million, a lot of money, but you do what you can and what you got to do to keep Marshawn Lynch, because he's the heart and soul. If Lynch doesn't go, Russell Wilson doesn't go, and you saw that last week against Green Bay. When Lynch started to run and started to get extra yards and broke the touchdown, all of a sudden Russell Wilson was back to being Russell Wilson, making plays outside the pocket, running, making dynamic throws in the pocket, showing that he is good. Hey, I have limitations. I was exploited a little bit, but as Marshawn Lynch goes, so does the Seahawks go, and Bill Belichick knows that better than anyone. If you watch the game, and he's going to probably watch the game six times, and he said, wow, is it that easy? We just corral Marshawn Lynch the whole game? Well, it sounds easy, but can you corral Marshawn Lynch the whole game? That's what we're going to find out. When Russell starts to make plays with his legs, it always translates to his arm. And that's why I want to see them do it early, because New England's going to do a good job to corral Marshawn Lynch in the first half. But can Russell Wilson, can he be a threat with his legs? Open it up. The read option. When do we see that? Where do we see it? How often do we see it? How prepared is Bill Belichick against the read option? Because once they started using against Green Bay fell back into their old selves. Like the last couple years against the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick when they couldn't stop it. Are we going to see it? Are we going to see it early? Are we going to see a lot of it? That's going to be another one. That's another big key for New England, stopping it. Big key for the Seahawks. Can they run it? Can they make some dynamic plays? Can they free up Russell Wilson? Can they get Marshawn Lynch? Because they know they're going to key on him. They know what's going to happen. I think both teams know how they're going to play each other. Now it's about execution. It's about turnovers. It's about who cracks first. Green Bay cracked first. The ball is cracked first in the AFC Championship, great, right? Isn't that it? It wasn't the Colts. It wasn't LeGarrette Blount. You can't blame LeGarrette Blount for beating the crap out of the footballs, punching them and deflating them. Oh, I love when all the detractors and haters came on and started complaining. It's great. As always, the winner will be deciding in Super Bowl 49. It will come down to the trenches, right? Seattle's defensive front versus New England's offensive line. And New England's offensive line is much better and much more balanced than Denver. They're going to run it. They're going to throw it. They're going to use that power running game with LeGarrette Blount. They're going to throw short. They're going to check down. They're going to move it. And that's why we come down to the lines. Because when they get in the red zone, could New England score? Can Seattle prevent the New England Patriots from scoring in the red zone as they did with the Green Bay Packers? If it comes down to a fourth and one at the goal, Belichick's not going to make that mistake. He's going to go for it. And that's going to come down to the trenches. So we have the big keys of the game. Red zone. The trenches. Marshawn Lynch, the key figure for Seattle. Rob Gronkowski, the big one for the New England Patriots. I'm still going with the New England Patriots to win this game. I know that this arouses Bill Belichick like nothing else, to the Deflategate, all the scandals. He's going to use it to his advantage. New England's slightly better at the offensive line, and their defensive line is better than Seattle's offensive line. And they will win both battles by a little bit. That's why this will be a close game. I don't know how much Russell Wilson has. How many plays can he make from the pocket? Is he going to be able to get out, open things up for Lynch? The read option, that's going to be a big key. Should be a great game. Who do you have? Hit me up at Twitter, Brads56. Super Bowl 49, Seattle and New England. It's coming down Sunday. Should be a good one. I can't wait to see Richard Sherman and Tom Brady go at it. You mad, bro? You mad, bro? You still mad, bro? Huh? Huh? You called us nobodies. We're not nobodies anymore. Hey, I just want to let you know, my name's Richard Sherman. I just want to let you know that Tom Brady, he's dirty. Oh, yeah, he talks trash. He's not this choir boy. He's not this prissy sissy guy that just is so sweet and says, thank you very much for playing us. He'll talk trash. He'll get dirty. Seattle's going to talk. New England's going to be hated for cheating, for all the scandals, for winning, and being in their sixth Super Bowl in the Brady Belichick era. It's going to come down to that. Coming up next, which is the worst All-Star game? Which All-Star game should just be eradicated? Or should they all be eradicated? I'm going to tell you which is the worst one out of the big four sports. Plus, oh, don't go anywhere. We have a lot more. The most bizarre proposition bets. I'm going to help you make a little tiny bit, a minute amount of money, and we're going to try to do it the easy way. Well, you can't say easy. There's never easy money, but I have a way. There's some sucker bets, and I'm going to help us both win because I think we can both be richer for the new year 2015. Thanks for listening to the Slant Sports Talk on Full Gamut Radio. I was actually enjoying the beginning of the Pro Bowl, just vaguely, just a little bit, a smidge, until Jordy Nelson scores a touchdown, and then he's greeted by his buddy Clay Matthews, and they embrace. Then you see the no-effort tackling, which you pretty much saw, but it was really a lack of effort, where they're just putting the guys gently down, or it really looked like it didn't even look like an. I played rougher, more physical tag games, tag football, than what I saw last night at the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. It was bad. It was real bad. I want to see two teams try to win. That's what a football game is about. If you're going to play this game, two teams try to win. That means a little bit more physical. I'm not saying to knock someone's block off. No chop blocks. You don't have to over the middle try to hit someone in their head. Just a hard hit. How about a hard push with two hands in the chest? With all that momentum, they're going to go down on the ground. No doubt in my mind. But I don't want to see two teammates who are on opposite teams, which I like that rule, where it's not the AFC versus the NFC anymore. You don't know who's going to be on your team or who's not going to be on your team. You have two guys, Chris Carter, Michael Irvin, pick them the whole draft. I'm fine with it. I don't love it, but I'm fine with it. But I want to see two teams try to win. I want to see more physicality. I don't want to see two mates who are not on the same team that particular day at the Pro Bowl. I don't want to see them embrace. That just shows me that this is a joke, that they're just going out there. We're having fun. I don't want them to have fun. Let them have fun Sunday before the game, Saturday, Monday. Stay there for the whole week for all the festivities at the Super Bowl. But if you're going to pay money, if you're going to charge entrance fees to people, right? Don't you think we deserve better as fans if we're going to pay to see it or we're going to put it on our television and utilize the power? So we're actually spending money too on the cable bill. Don't you want to see a more entertaining game? The object of the game is to win. Two teams try makes it a lot better. If one team tries and they suck, it happens. But you want to see two teams try. And all the crappiness, really, after I was saying, wow, this is pretty decent. I was vaguely enjoying it. Then it started to resonate in the old brain right here. As soon as I saw Matthew Stafford win the MVP, and he was the best quarterback out there. And then I realized, okay, there's no blitzes, no zone blitzes, and Matthew Stafford doesn't have to worry about getting blindsided and getting hit hard. And now Matthew Stafford looks like Aaron Rodgers out there. Oh, God. I was like, okay, enough of this. Bring me the check. Bring me the check, baby. I had enough of this. What'd you think of the new rules? Did it make you sick? Ugh. I know Adam Vinatieri hated it. I strongly disliked the new rules that they try to implement in the Pro Bowl. Because I'm not allowed to say the word hate anymore. I'm trying to get it out of my vocabulary. Ah, see, 2015, New Year's resolution. Try to be more positive. Strongly dislike the new rules. It was bad. Narrow goalpost. Don't need it. Don't really see the benefit. But I know that the NFL, what they're trying to do. I see what the NFL is doing. I know they want to see more teams go for it on fourth downs. They want to see more touchdowns over field goals. And we are getting closer to that. Whether you like it or I like it, it doesn't care. They don't care. The NFL doesn't care. They're not going to throw a poll out there like we do on the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein on Full Gamut Radio and OSN. There's no poll out there. They're going to do what benefits the game. And more numbers, more scoring, more excitement. They think it's better for the game. I'm always one that says less is more. I always go back to that word. Less is sometimes more. This is a great game. It's evolved into the best American sport. Viewership and money has never been more substantial. It's ridiculous. The gambling, the fantasy, everything. Why do you got to keep going crazy? I see you trying to improve it, but I think we hit the point where let's just try to improve player safety and let the improving of the game, speeding up the game, leave that to Major League Baseball, okay? And the flopping, leave that for the NBA. And the NHL, I don't think the NHL needs to do anything, but maybe change some of these names that we can't pronounce. So some of the English-speaking Americans say, oh, John Smith, okay, you can resonate with that. But what are these French-Canadian names? Can't pronounce it. If I can't pronounce it, how am I going to watch it? I know a lot of you are thinking there, if you're not a hockey fan, if you can't pronounce it, you can't watch it. It would probably make it a little bit more feasible for people. It's interesting. Just thought I'd throw that out there. What about losing a possession at the end of the quarter? Oh, God, I strongly, you hear that? No, H-A-T-E, strongly dislike that one. Losing the possession at the end of each quarter, try to make it exciting. That is going too far. There's too far, and that nailed it. Don't need that. Less is more with that. But a lot of this stuff is going to pass eventually. That's what the NFL is going to do. Keep making it more exciting, video game-like numbers, more offense, more offense, more offense. And that's why I thought that the NFL would side with New England and a more quarterback-friendly, speed-up-the-game system where the Seattle Seahawks, they're predicated all on defense and running the ball. Old style, my type of football. Do fans really like that? Oh, fans in Seattle, if you're rooting against New England, you like that because you want to win. I like it. A lot of us old schoolers, us throwback sports fans, we like that stuff. We can sit through it. But the NFL, they want everything faster and better. We'll see. I don't even think the Pro Bowl is the worst. I know that's what we're getting at, right? That the NFL Pro Bowl, oh, it's so bad. But it's not the worst. It's maybe the second worst, maybe the third worst, but it's not the worst. The National Hockey League All-Star Game sucks. It's bad. Oh, I watched it. It's putrid. Hockey fans, I got to hear from you at Brads56 on Twitter. What do you think? Should they abolish, eradicate the NHL All-Star Game, the actual game, the speed competition, all the skills competition? Keep it. Let's do more stuff like that. But man, this game, it's got to go. Football, you can sit there and I'm like, hey, just make it flag football. You might as well mic them up. It'll be interesting. It'll be funny. Baseball, you could do the same things with that. You can mic them up. Basketball, yeah, mic them up. You see them taking shots, trying to dunk. It's a little entertaining. But hockey, there's three things that makes hockey tantalizing that I try to teach people who don't like the game and don't respect the game. And I'm a big-time advocate for the NHL. I love hockey. It's hard to watch it during football season when college and the NFL is here and the NBA is here and it's not very prevalent all over cable television. And you have to really dig hard to find a game. You maybe get one game a week. And if you're home and you don't want to watch college basketball or the NBA or football, then yeah, you can watch NHL. But it's hard. But there's always three things that I say. These are the best things about hockey. It's physicality, its speed, and the level of difficulty is what makes it so amazing. All of them were negated in this NHL All-Star game. There's no speed, there's no checking, and it's too easy. 29 goals? Are you kidding me? That's a record, most combined goals. To me, it seemed like overkill on the PA announcer. Every time someone scored, they have to sit there and say their name and the assist, and poor PA announcer. I feel bad for him that he had to keep talking. 29 goals. Did you even like to watch that? So I think, why even play that game? Let's just get rid of it. And I read some blogs and people are saying, well, why, they don't have to play hard all the time? Well, isn't that what separates hockey? Yeah, they don't have to play hard, then don't play the game at all. I'm not saying to bash each other's brains in an all-star game that doesn't mean anything. I'm saying don't play the game. Have more skills competition, make it really exciting, and that's it. And just take it, let the NFL do their Pro Bowl. Let the NBA do their all-star game. You just concentrate on the playoffs because playoff hockey, and I've said this so many times on the Slant Sports Talk with Brad side, playoff hockey, the physicality, the level of difficulty, the speed, the athleticism is the best. And that's what separates hockey playoffs from other sports. I think the NHL playoffs is even better than the NFL playoffs. It is. Competition-wise, it's better. It's more exciting. You have to understand the game. You have to like the game or you're not going to appreciate it. But nothing's better than the NHL playoffs. Nothing. And watching this All-Star game, it really made me sick. And that's the one thing I can say about most NHL games. You can look at baseball and say it's long and boring and tedious. And you could say basketball that they flop and you have tanking teams like Philadelphia. Now the Lakers without Kobe, they're going to tank and try to get themselves a top five draft pick so they don't have to give it away to Phoenix in that Nash trade. Oh, absolutely. You have those problems. In football, you might even have some teams that try to suck for luck or play like Carcass for Marcus. Well, not anymore now that his shoulder's hurt. But NHL, you could say every single game, those guys are flying around, flying in the boards. They're playing hard. Someone gets their face sliced, right back in the game. Stitch him up, 18 stitches, no problem. Get him back in the game. And watching that, it takes away a lot. I think it subtracts a great deal from the game of hockey. And I want to know your thoughts at Brads56 on Twitter. Hit me up because it makes me sick. I think it's the worst all-star game that we have. The big four sports, the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, NHL, no doubt about it. It's the worst and it makes me sick. And we're almost out of time on the slant. We got to get to the most bizarre proposition bets because there is a bunch of them here and they're quite bizarre. Will Marshawn Lynch be fined on Media Day? That is, can you believe that's a proposition bet? No, he won't. Take the bet. Say no. It's either yes or no. He will be nice. The only way he's going to get fined on Media Day or during the game is if they're blowing out New England, then he's going to expect a crotch grab. Otherwise, he'll be a good boy. How many times will deflated be mentioned during game? That's another proposition bet. You could do under 3 or over 3. It's a no-brainer to me. It's over 3. Deflategate? If we've been talking about it every single day for the last week, from today, or last night was a week, right after the game, right when it came out, when it was first reported. Got to be kidding me. To me, over 3. I would say over 6. That's a no-brainer. I'm making you win some money. If that proposition bet is still there, take it. Take it. Trust me. How about this? Here, this has got to be the easiest money. Who's shown more on TV, Robert Kraft or Paul Allen? Did you know that Paul Allen was the owner of the Seattle Seahawks? Yes. He's a dual owner. He owns the Portland Trail Blazers. You can't have an owner who owns two teams showing a lot on TV. Robert Kraft, Deflategate. He's buddies with Goodell. They're going to show him. They're going to talk about him. And he's probably going to have Mocky Mock or some famous Boston parking the car over there in Arizona. And they're going to show Robert Kraft and whoever's with him. Paul Allen won't even be shown because he doesn't care. He stays out of the spotlight. That's why we don't even know he's the owner. Unless you follow the Seahawks and you follow owners. Easy money. Easy money. Got a few more before we go. Let's see what else we have. I think we have a few more. Yes. Which color hoodie will Bill Belichick wear on Sunday? Gray, blue, or red? Has to be gray because of his mood. Because he's Belichick, or some people say Belichick, like Don Shula. He wore blue in the AFC Championship game. Gray. Go gray. It's a good bet. Not a no-brainer, but it's a good bet. And last one. Hit the music, Mr. Producer. Hit the music, baby, because this is the last one. We're going to bring it home on the Slant Sports Talk with Brad Stein. Thanks for joining. Will Russell Wilson have more passing yards than the U.S. average of gasoline and cents? Well, did you know gasoline is, on average, around 200 cents? That means $2. He will have more than 200 yards because New England's going to force Seattle to throw the ball. They're not going to let Marshawn Lynch beat them. Trust me. New England over Seattle. That's who I have. Have a wonderful day. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a pleasure. Move for wake, though.